Welcome to Celestial Insights, a weekly podcast that brings the stars down to earth. I'm your host, astrologer, coach, and intuitive Celeste Brooks. My purpose is to provide practical, unique, and insightful guidance to help you navigate the energies of the week like a boss. Hello, this is Celeste of Astrology by Celeste, and on this episode, I will discuss the astrology for January 28th, 2024. But first, I want to let you know that Astrology Foundations 201 class will begin on Wednesday, January 31st. So that's this Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. This is a 5-week class and the second class in my astrology series. This class is for people who already understand the basics about the planets, the zodiac signs, the houses, and the aspects, and want to take their chart interpretation skills to the next level. When you first start reading charts, it can be very daunting because how do you know where to start? This class will help you focus in on what is important in the chart by understanding different techniques like the chart drivers, the chart rulership, derived houses, and more. So check out the link in the show notes. I would love to be your guide as you deepen your understanding of this beautiful language of astrology. The class is interactive and taught live. And any class that you can't make live, the recordings will be available within 24 hours. If you are interested but not sure, just email me at celeste@astrologybyceleste.com with any questions. As discussed on last week's podcast, I was really interested to see what would come up in the collective as the Sun and Pluto met at the last degree and the last minute of the sign of Capricorn. At 29 degrees and 59 minutes, Capricorn is a sign of big business, of governments, and of older people. And there were several stories in the news that I found interesting. Crystal, the last wife of Hugh Hefner, wrote a book about what it was like being married to him. And Pluto strips back the layers of things and shows us how things really are rather than how we imagine them to be. And she talked about how the house was dank and even there was black mold. The Playboy Mansion had illusions of grandeur and beauty and luxury. She talked about how Hugh Hefner was very controlling. All of the Playboy ladies or bunnies or whatever they were called had to be home at 6 p.m. He was agoraphobic at the end of his life. He did not want to go out. He was a sex addict. Capricorn has the nature as well of also kind of overdoing the physical things. It is the devil card in the tarot, which has a man and a woman chained together. There's this energy of addiction and not being able to control things or excessive materialism. The Playboy Mansion was a place people went to just overindulge in everything, drugs, sex, all of that kind of stuff. So I thought that was a really interesting story. Also, I wondered about workplace violence. A Chicago area tech CEO fell to his death at a company party where he was on some kind of device that malfunctioned. So thankfully, there was no violence intentionally inflicted on anyone, but there was this big death of a CEO that made big news. It happened as the Sun was approaching Pluto at the 29th degree. Also, Alec Baldwin, the actor, is again at risk of going to jail for the accidental killing of the cinematographer on his movie set. The Sun shining a spotlight on a workplace death in two different ways. And on the same day, then the Sun went into Aquarius, and then Pluto moved into the sign, and the spotlight turned to large groups of people, which Aquarius rules. And in Germany, the people rose up and went to the streets. Over 100,000 people were marching about the rise of right-wing groups. So there was something leaked about how this right-wing group in Germany had plans to deport all of these people who were foreign-born, some of whom are naturalized citizens. And the people took to the streets to say, no, that is not acceptable. Pluto in Aquarius, power to the people. And we're having this tug of war between power to the people, power to big governments and business, but they are in the last stages of a type of decay, being at the last degrees of Capricorn. We're going to see Pluto dip back into Capricorn just in time. I think it's September 1st. So just in time for the American elections, and it'll go back into Aquarius on November 19th. So I wonder if that will have something to do with when we find out who the new president is. It makes total sense that we have two very old men, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, who are likely to be the nominees at this competitive fight. Mars was retrograde in 2020, and this is a great example. Mars rules competition, and an election is a competition. And retrogrades, when things go retrograde, it can be symbolic of that this is not resolved, that there's going to be a reoccurrence of a previous situation. And we're having the reoccurrence of Donald Trump and Joe Biden at this 29th degree of this last stage of Capricorn. Joe Biden's been in government his whole life. Donald Trump was a real estate development, so literally building buildings. Capricorn rules structure and architecture for most of his life. They're both elderly and competing to be the leader of the country. The Wise Guys 2024 Digital Astrology Calendar will help you let the universe have your back. The calendar is compatible with Google, Apple, and Outlook calendars. The calendar includes every planetary transit, lunation, eclipse, and moon void of course period. There are detailed descriptions for each astrological event that will help you deepen your understanding of astrology, plan events in sync with the cosmos, and stay more present in your daily life. Use my coupon code ABC2024 and go to WiseSkiesCollective.com/shop to order your calendar today. I'm a proud affiliate and use the calendar myself on a daily basis. The theme of this week is the bold and the beautiful, and there are three big things I would like you to think about as you navigate this week. The first is that Mars, the planet of action, drive, assertion, Mars strives, Mars achieves, Mars challenges. It's in the sign of Capricorn, the sign of its exaltation, where it is lifted up, where it can do its thing well. Mars has squared the lunar nodes all at 18 degrees of their receptive signs. Mars in Capricorn, the north node in Aries, and the south node in Libra. And when any planet squares the nodes, it's about coming up to a crossroads, a choice point. So if you have planets around 18 degrees, especially of the cardinal signs, I would give 4 degrees on either side. And the cardinal signs are Aries, Libra, Cancer, and Capricorn. There may be a choice point or a decision you're trying to make. Will you, Aries, be bold and brave? Or Libra, worry about your appearance or how things look? Or will people think, are you willing to take some risks to achieve the goals that you want to achieve? Or are you going to stay safe? The south node has connotations of comfort and ease, and the north node is the uncomfortable reach. We need to push ourselves with the north node in order to achieve the goals that we're striving for our highest evolution. On the same day, Venus, the planet of love, beauty, and harmony, is trine Jupiter. That makes everything bigger. Venus in Capricorn, Jupiter in Taurus at 6 degrees of their respective signs. This is Earth. And so there's a lot of opportunity to manifest abundance with this transit. Trines remove all restrictions, so the manifestation can come with ease. Now, you may need someone to help you, and that's where Venus comes in. Ask a friend or a benefactor, a mentor, for advice on how to move forward. Also, come for an astrology reading with me if you are struggling with a decision and want to think about the bigger picture of where you are on your soul's journey in terms of which way to turn, just for some input for other things to think about, which may not be right at your conscious awareness. The next thing I want to make you aware of is that Mars and Mercury are still traveling together in the sign of Capricorn. They just recently met, and Mercury rules communication, commerce, and transportation. It rules our thought processes. Mars energizes and strives. Both planets will make a trine with Uranus, the Great Awakener, the planet of genius, over the next couple of days. Uranus is the higher octave of Mercury. So some people could have amazing ideas or innovative plans, thinking outside the box in order to achieve success past the levels you thought possible. I think, again, this is a great week for inventors to have wonderful ideas. Now, Mercury and Mars together also has connotations of theft or putting violent or criminal plans into action. This could be like someone plans a great big bank heist with Mars square the nodes. They could go for it and take the risk to put these bad plans into action. And with Venus trine Jupiter and Mercury and Mars trine Uranus, this could be successful, at least for the short term. In the collective, we may see things about what's going on in the Red Sea, if there will be increasing violence between Capricornian states against the Houthi rebels for attacking ships and commerce. Uranus also has connotations of not following the rules or taking actions that are considered socially unacceptable. And it's in the sign of Taurus, the sign of resources. I can't wait to see how all of these transits work together. Hopefully, it will just mostly be some great productive things or news about a potential could be news about the war coming to some kind of negotiation, the war in Israel, the Israel-Hamas war. I wonder if Venus trine Jupiter could lead to the release of hostages in exchange for resources or prisoners. We shall see. Hopefully, it will be good things that are coming. The last thing I want to make you aware of is that we will have a last quarter moon at 13 degrees of Scorpio on Friday. Scorpio topics can be about debts, deep emotional things, resources, taxes, death and rebirth, releasing things that are no longer serving you, revenge, jealousy, feeling power or over someone or overpowered by someone, sexual passion. The sun will be at 13 Aquarius. The tarot correspondence is the Six of Swords. And this is a card that traditionally you see a woman and a child on a boat moving away from something. Their backs are towards us. That's like they're moving away to a different place, and it's somewhere maybe that they don't want to go. There is a sense of grief, a releasing baggage, a rite of transition that there's a bit of sadness about having to take this trip. The astrology correspondence for this card is Mercury in Aquarius, so it's a lot about thought processes. And the Sabian symbol is a train entering a tunnel. And this brings the image of going into a dark place, almost like entering a cave. You can think about how tunnels are dark. It can spark a sense of feeling like you could be stuck somewhere. The moon is at 13 Scorpio, and the tarot card that corresponds is the Six of Cups. This is a card of nostalgia, revisiting the past, innocence. It's a really sweet card where you see a child giving a gift of a flowers or something to a younger child. The astrology correspondence to this card is the sun in Scorpio. The Sabian symbol is a telephone lineman at work installing new connections. These two together bring to me several thoughts and images. Something about revelations about how you were raised, really seeing things as they are rather than as you wanted them to be, releasing fantasies that need to be let go of. Aquarius is a fixed air sign, and so the sun can be putting a light on our thoughts. The Aquarian statement is, I know. Well, sometimes your perceptions are changed, especially with Pluto and Aquarius. Pluto is almost like a roto-rooter, unearthing things, bringing things to light for them to be dealt with. And Scorpio is a water sign, deep waters, emotions, secrets revealed, putting a flashlight on the psyche. Scorpio has associations with things we'd rather disown about ourselves or not really acknowledge. And I feel like this energy is about bringing things to light that need to, shining light on darkness. Also notice over the next week what you read or see about trains and telephone poles or power. Hopefully there won't be any power outages or cyber crimes that take down some kind of networks. Let's hope not. Let's hope there's not, that really feel like breaks in communication or difficulty getting where one's trying to go could be themes that come up. One thing that's really interesting about the astrology of this last quarter moon is about the sun is moving towards a square with Uranus, the great awakener. Now, it's not going to happen for another week, but Uranus can bring things to our conscious attention. And another thing, Mercury, then Mars, then Venus, as they fit, they're finishing up their work in Capricorn, and then they're going to meet Pluto at 0 degrees of Aquarius, one after the other. Mercury will bring knowledge and information, then Mars can be like bringing up anger or aggravation, and then Venus conjunct Pluto can be bringing up information about relationships. Hopefully, I mean, Venus conjunct Pluto can be very sexy. So can Mars conjunct Pluto. So there's also this like 9.5 weeksy feeling to this last quarter moon. But really pay attention to what is unearthed within you. It's really important not to just push things down. Your psyche is bringing up things up for a reason. The moon face family of this last quarter moon was seated with the sun and moon both in Scorpio at 12 degrees on November 4th, 2021. The first quarter moon, the sun in Leo, the moon in Scorpio, both at 13 degrees on August 5th, 2022. The lunar eclipse, the full moon of the cycle was a lunar eclipse from that last May, where the sun was in Taurus, the moon in Scorpio, both at 14 degrees on May 5th, 2023. And on Friday, February 2nd, is this last quarter moon with the sun is in Aquarius, with the sun in Aquarius and the moon in Scorpio, both at 13 degrees. So with these moon phase families, what you may find if your chart was activated, that there's a story in your life related to Scorpio topics or the house you have Scorpio in. So think about these topics and see if there's a story in your life that had pivot points at these dates 9 months apart. You can give 2 weeks on either side. If you are embarking on a new journey, experiencing a major life event, feeling stuck, trying to make a difficult decision, or just looking to make positive changes, astrology can provide life-changing insights. There are several ways to work with me. You can come for a 30, 60, or 90-minute astrology consultation, depending on your needs. Ask me a burning question and I'll record a video for you. Engage in longer-term cosmic success coaching, where we work together on a three-month basis to help you overcome blocks, improve your life satisfaction, build better relationships, accomplish your career goals, and understand yourself better using the tool of astrology. Or mystic mentoring if you're an aspiring astrologer and want help with chart analysis techniques. Go to astrologybyceleste.com to check out my offerings. If you have any questions, you can email me at celeste@astrologybyceleste.com. On Sunday, the word of the day is sexy. We start the week with the moon in Virgo. Virgo is mutable earth. It's a sign that can bring order to chaos. You can get really organized. Now, Mars is square the nodes on this day. Mars at 18 degrees of Capricorn, square the north node in Aries and the south node in Libra, both at 18 degrees. Now, this can be a choice point. I love the idea. I'm kind of sexy with this energy because Mercury, the planet of thought processes, is trine Uranus at 19 degrees. You might get a great idea to have an afternoon delight. And then with Venus trine Jupiter, Venus in Capricorn trine Jupiter in Taurus at 6 degrees, there's these beautiful earthy trines. Earth is about sensuality and pleasure and the physical senses and the physical touch. Do I go to work or do I have some fun with my partner? Or do I do the chores or do I take a break and have some fun? And I think you should take a break and have some fun. On Monday, the word of the day is excitement. The moon is in Virgo all day. This is a great time to just get the mundane tasks done. Mars in Capricorn is trine Uranus in Taurus. So we have this grand trine in Earth, Mars in Capricorn, with Mercury and Mars both talking to Uranus, and this grand trine in Earth where there's this incredible energy for manifestation. You may have exciting ideas and the plans to make them happen and just emotionally feel like you can do this. Try not to edit yourself too much. Remember, perfect can be the enemy of the good. This disseminating moon at 24 Virgo begins at 12:43 p.m. Pacific time. The disseminating phase is a phase of release and sharing information that you have. So you have the plan, talk about it with someone. With Venus trine Jupiter, a mentor or benefactor can give you great ideas on how to make your dreams a reality. On Tuesday, the word of the day is justice. The moon will enter the air sign of Libra at 12:03 a.m. And on this day, Mercury will make a semi-square with Saturn in Pisces. So Mercury in Capricorn and Saturn in Pisces. I'm wondering if there is going to be some news about an important court case. In the tarot deck, the justice card corresponds to Libra and about making fair, wise, and balanced decisions. I'm really interested to see what news will come up over the next couple of days with the moon in Libra. Will we find out something about one of Donald Trump's court cases? There's also several big cases the Supreme Court is working on. We shall see. On Wednesday, the word of the day is decisions. There's not much happening in the sky on this day. There are a few tense moon aspects, but you may make some important decisions on this day with Libra and air sign. You might need to talk about any dilemmas with someone. This is the day that Astrology Foundations 201 starts. So if you want to take the class, there's still time to join. On Thursday, the word of the day is desire. The moon enters the fixed water sign of Scorpio at 12:36 p.m. Pacific time. Notice if you're in a meeting or something and people are chatting while the moon is in Libra. And then, ooh, they get silent when the moon moves into Scorpio. Water signs are mute. So people will speak less in general when the moon is in a water sign, unless they're acting out of emotions. One of the taglines for Scorpio is, I desire. So your thoughts may turn to the themes of what you want, a coveting. What do you desire? On Friday, the word of the day is rewards. This is the day we of the last quarter moon, where the sun is in Aquarius, the moon in Scorpio, both at 13 degrees of their respective signs at 3:17 p.m. Last quarter moons can be times of where we receive rewards. And if you put in any energy into the planning, into the work, earlier in the week or through this moon cycle with the Capricorn new moon, you may reap some rewards of the efforts that you put in. Quarter moons are action points. Like your boss could come to you and tell you you're getting noticed and are in line for a promotion, or you close a big deal, or you just have some kind of success on this day. On Saturday, the word of the day is beauty. There is some really nice energy during this day. Venus, the planet of love, beauty, and harmony, is making a quintile with Neptune, the higher octave of Venus. And quintiles are grace notes where you can just synthesize the energy in unique and beautiful ways. Venus is in Capricorn, Neptune's in Pisces. A great day to get yourself some flowers, beautify your home, something like that could be lovely. The moon will enter the fire sign of Sagittarius at 10:27 p.m. Pacific time. I love a Sagittarius moon. This fiery energy is optimistic, inspired, dynamic, and it just can be a time where you're feeling some joy. Watch out for overindulging with this. Yeah, this could be its last call and someone's getting ready to leave the bar, and then they'll have just one more because the moon went into Sagittarius, a sign about too much is never enough. So that's it for this week's episode. Feel free to email me at Celeste@astrologybyceleste.com with any questions about Astrology Foundations 201, or have any astrology and action stories that you want to let me know about, or how the daily themes are playing out for you. Take care, and I'll catch you next week. Thank you for listening to Celestial Insights. To learn more about my work, please visit my website, astrologybyceleste.com, where I offer personal readings, horary consultations, cosmic coaching, group events, and classes to help guide people to higher levels of fulfillment. You can also find me on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook at Astrology by Celeste. If you enjoyed Celestial Insights, please help others find the show. Follow, rate it 5 stars, or write a nice review. I would so appreciate it. I'm astrologer, coach, and intuitive Celeste Brooks, and I'll be back next week.